CBS NFL analyst, two-time Super Bowl champion with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And B, we got to start with our Falcons because some Falcon fans not okay with the hiring of Kevin Stefanski, but I think a lot of fans are also questioning the hiring of Tommy Rees, the OC. How do you feel about these hires?
Hey, boy, they fired up, ain't they? Oh, they're fired up. Honestly, you know, hearing Kevin Stefanski was an option, I was okay with it. Hearing that Kevin Stefanski was hired, I was okay with it as well. But me personally, I'm not okay with him bringing other Cleveland Browns with him. You just mentioned Tommy Rees. Now, he was, quote-unquote, the OC a year ago. That offense was bad. If I'm not mistaken, guys, in total yards, I think they finished 30th in the National Football League. 30th, I think. 30th or 29th, right? No better than 29th.
Yes.
For the viewers that are casual football fans, there are 32 teams in the National Football League. So anytime you finish in the 30s or the late 20s, that's bad. That's bad. Not to mention they only averaged 16 points a year ago offensively. Now, I know there's a lot of flux at the quarterback position, but still, even when they had stability at the quarterback position, no one ever considered the Cleveland Browns offensively to be a juggernaut. So if you're Kevin Stefanski, if you're trying to get a clean slate, that's one thing. Right. But why are you bringing individuals with you that were a part of a horrendous offensive unit? Now, if you told me he was bringing some defensive coaches with him, I can accept that a little more because that defense was hell on wheels, led by Myles Garrett, the potential defensive player of the year winner. But outside of that, I wouldn't want anything coming from Cleveland if it was nothing tied to the defensive side.
The thing about it, and that's what everyone's saying in Cleveland, and wow, they're running it back. And that's the thing, B-Mac, that basically Cleveland is such a dysfunctional mess. There was a disconnect with his general manager. The groceries, I mean, the special teams are terrible, too. That's another thing. I mean, like, that's a whole other argument. We'll get to that in a second. But it's almost like he's saying to Cleveland, you don't know how to put a football team together. My stuff works, and it will work in Atlanta. But you could argue he's coming back to the same situation with instability at the quarterback position.
It is. It's almost like he's trying to recreate Cleveland, Cleveland 2.0. And 1.0 was horrible. So the fans have a reason to feel some type of way. And you talked about the uncertainty at the quarterback position. Well, he didn't have success grooming young quarterbacks there in Cleveland, right? He didn't have any success. So what makes you think he would have a different, you know, result in Atlanta? I don't know. But I'll say this much. The patience clearly with the fan base is already short. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So you talk about coming into a situation where they're not going to exercise patience. They're not going to be diligent and say, hey, let's give it time. Give it time. He better win instantly. He better win instantly. And hopefully the organization feels like he can provide that instant spark, because if he don't, let's say, hypothetically speaking, in 2026, he gets off to a 2-5 start. You already know you guys at the station in the city will be going upside down with that, knowing that he came from a team that sucked. Usually, guys, and our listeners, when you hire someone, right, in the NFL, you usually hire someone that came from a good situation, a good culture, something like that. You rarely hire someone who was bad at their most recent destination. You don't usually see that.
You're absolutely right. It is Brian McFadden joining us here on Dukes and Bell. We're going to help. He will help us break down the games as we get ready for Sunday's matchups. I do want to ask you about some of these hires, man. And look, the Ravens go with Jesse Minter. Everybody said around the league, okay, kind of makes sense. He worked for the Harbaughs. He knows the team. He knows the organization. Is there any one of these hires outside of obviously talking about the Falcons that may be a surprise? And I don't think Stefanski was a surprise, as you said. I think he was the second guy off the board when Harbaugh was available, and then he got taken up by the Giants. Any of these hires have been a surprise so far for you?
No, I'm okay with Tennessee, you know, going with Robert Saleh. I'm okay with that. You know, Harbaugh with the Giants. You look at Jesse Minter, that's an ideal choice for the Ravens. He was in the building, had success. When he left the Ravens, he became even more successful. You look at the defensive units there in L.A. with the Chargers while he was there. They were really, really good, right? Really, really good. So it makes sense, and just the familiarity he has with the organization and vice versa makes sense as well. Outside of that, you know, we've gotten Baltimore, we've gotten the Giants, and Tennessee. I think that's the only – those are the only
right.
newly hires we have, right?
Yes, yes. And look, B, I got to ask you, what are you hearing about Pittsburgh? Does it feel like they're behind the eight ball?
No, not necessarily. I think – now, Mike McCarthy's name is gaining some traction. Ugh. You know, oddly enough, if we make that hire – I wouldn't be totally mad at it, but I wouldn't be overly hyped about it as well. It seems like Chris Shula is the name to kind of monitor with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, with that situation, he's currently getting ready for an NFC Championship game. He is the DC for the Los Angeles Rams. You know, he comes from a football family. You know, if you recognize the Shula last name, you already know who he's tied to.
Right.
And he's throughout his coaching resume, he's done some really, really good things. Most recently, on the Los Angeles Rams. And, you know, remember, he took over as defensive coordinator when Raheem became the head coach for Atlanta. And the Rams haven't missed a beat defensively. Granted, they're competing for NFC championship this upcoming Sunday. So I think he's the ideal name. And if that was to happen, I wouldn't have an issue with that. He kind of fits the mold from what the Steelers have done. And their two most recent hires, a defensive-minded coach, you know, very, very young, you know, a guy that's still scratching the surface of his prime coaching years. And that's what they did when they hired Bill Cowher. You know, that's what they did most recently when they hired Mike Tomlin.
Talk with our man, Brian McFadden. He knows what it's like to host that Lombardi Trophy. Two-time Super Bowl winner. CBS Sports joins us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. I think you get the right guy in Buffalo. I mean, you know, they got to get some more skill position players in there. We all know that. But they still got, you know, stars. You got Josh Allen. He's just been leaking. We were talking about it, B. Dable, you know, kind of got his accuracy up, and he's turned it over too much. What about a guy like Mike McDaniel to Buffalo?
Well, Mike McDaniel, you know, recently, if I'm not mistaken, I think he just signed on with the Chargers.
Yeah, but he's now, but apparently he's interviewing for gigs, including Pittsburgh.
Wow. Well.
Right.
I love the offensive mentality that he has. It's just the ability to lead men. We heard questions about that while he was in Miami, right? The ability to lead men. And if you're Mike McDaniel, now, granted, you can't say no to Pittsburgh if they want you to be their head coach. That's a story franchise, and they've shown the ability to be patient with coaching hires. Hey, this will be their fourth coach in the history of the organization, so that's one thing. But then when you talk about Buffalo, man, honestly, when I watched the interview by the owner and the GM, and the way how they handled that, it was so unprofessional.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also hearing that they're allowing Josh Allen to sit into these meetings
right.
with the potential hires. Like, what are we doing? Like, Josh Allen is a franchise quarterback. He's one of the best in the game. But why, what say-so should he have when it comes to hiring the new head coach?
But hasn't he earned that, though? Hasn't he earned that, though, B? I mean, he is the focal point. You might as well get the guy's going to react. Or you say you bring in somebody who challenges him.
Well, there's a lot of great quarterbacks that have earned that, but have they did it?
Mm.
Like, I've never heard Tom Brady being involved. Granted, he never really had to go through that when you talk about but having different OCs. Now, if he was in the interview process with an offensive coordinator, okay, that makes sense. It's offense. But you're talking about the entire structure of the team, because your job is to make sure the offense is together. You have no say-so of the defense. You have no say-so over special teams and things like that. So it's almost like now if you're a head coach and you're interviewing for the Bills, you're coming into a situation where the quarterback feels like he has potentially seniority over you, because he's basically saying we should hire you or not hire you. And we just don't see that in National Football League. When you look at all the great players, all the great quarterbacks that we've watched, that we've raved and praised about, how many of those individuals have had say-so? Lamar Jackson sure enough didn't with Jesse Minter. And you heard what Steve Bisciotti said.
Right.
He would value their opinions of his star players, but they won't have any word about who he hires or who he decides not to hire.
Yeah. It's and Josh is in on the Bills hire, by the way. He will be a part of that process. B, we got to switch gears and talk about these games before we get you out of here. AFC, Pats at Denver, 3 p.m. CBS tomorrow. We're carrying the game for you here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. How does this game play out? I don't understand how Denver's not a bigger dog here, but with the quarterback situation, am I missing something?
Now, I mean, 5 points, 5.5, depending on where you're shopping, is a valid line. Now, you also have to remember, Carl and Mike, because of that 5-point spread, mm-hmm. they're the largest home underdog in a conference championship game. Mm-hmm. So that's already, you know, precedent on scratching history right there. But I think it's valid. And I think the Patriots are definitely winning this ball game. If you're Mike Vrabel, if you're Drake May, you cannot go on the road and lose to Jarrett Stidham. You can't. You can't. You right. cannot lose to Jarrett Stidham. No. And I understand Denver's defense has been known to be a terrorizing unit to opposing quarterbacks and offenses. But Josh Allen had his day, had a field day against their defense. He scored 30 points and they had five turnovers.
Right.
So if you're Drake May, you got to find a way to get done. I am concerned with Drake May's offensive line unit. I mean, they've allowed 10 sacks in 2 playoff games, and those playoff games happen at home.
Right.
Where you didn't have to deal with crowd noise and things like that. So that's a total different atmosphere. You talk about a defense in the Broncos, they have 70-plus sacks, including regular season and playoff numbers. So they do a great job in harassing quarterbacks. But regardless, this is your Drake May. You've been in that MVP conversation since the second half of the season. You got to go on the road, and you have to find a way to win this ball game when you're playing against Jarrett Stidham.
The thing is, and I know you're not a big gambling man, B. He's a good guy, Carl. He doesn't mess with that stuff. But Vegas is like double dog daring you to take the Patriots. It's only 4.5-point spread. So everything you just said is the argument, I guess, from Vegas' standpoint, that the Broncos defense comparable to Texans. You just need Stidham, who's been in Sean Payton's system 3 years. Just don't stink it up like C.J. Stroud did. Ball control, high percentage stuff, and it'll be a low scoring game, and you'll be in it in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, and the thing is about that, you're right. You don't stink up the field, but also too Denver, when they can't run the football well consistently. Mm. When they lost J.K. Dobbins, you know, he was their featured running back, and he was really the bell cow for their offense. R.J. Harvey has stepped in, the rookie from UCF, but he hasn't really emerged to be a big time, you know, asset in the running game. So when Bo Nix was there, you know, because of his mobility and his athleticism, he can always become a plus one in the running game, which was needed yep. for their offense.
Yep.
Now you remove Bo Nix. Jarrett Stidham is not the runner that Bo Nix is or could be. So you cannot become one-dimensional. Their offense has been anemic in terms of running the football. I think that plays in favor for the Patriots' defense. Oh, by the way, they've only allowed 1 touchdown in 2 playoff games. So I understand we've been giving praise to the Broncos defense, but we can't overlook what the Patriots defensively, what they've been doing as well.
I think the 2 best teams in the NFL have been and will be on Sunday, the Rams and Seattle. Rams at Seattle. Tell me what you think and who wins this game.
Man, listen, when I look at this matchup, clearly the best division in football has been the NFC West. And we saw how the game played out the last time with the Rams dominating that game for almost the entirety until the last 5-6 minutes where Seattle came out with a dramatic come-from-behind win. I'm 50-50, but it's something about the Rams in these conference championship games, guys, where they don't lose. They don't lose. And if you're the Rams, you go into Seattle with the utmost confidence that you can have success on their outstanding defense because you've done it. You did it. Matthew Stafford, guys, remember the last time they played, he threw like 3 or 4 touchdowns and over 400 yards. And Puka Nacua, I mean, he is the reason why I didn't win my fantasy league because I played against Puka that week, and Puka had over 200 yards through the air, like 3 touchdowns, 2 touchdowns. So this is a team that has confidence that they can score and be successful against Seattle. And their defense, they got to find a way to get the necessary stops, because if they got 1 or 2 extra stops in that last meeting, they would have won that ball game. So I'm kind of 50-50 right now. I got to do my homework and kind of feel it out before Sunday. But right now, my early lean is with Sean McVay and Matthew Stafford.
Yeah.
My early lean. And I think the deciding factor for me, guys, and listeners, is who do you trust more, Sean McVay, Matthew Stafford, or Mike McDonald, Sam Darnold?
It's not even close for me. Mm-hmm. I agree with you. And this is why it's going to be an interesting game. And they know each other because they're division rivals.
Right.
I think that's going to be a fascinating game. B, we are talking Super Bowl with you next time we talk. And we're talking probably more hires around the league. So we'll get a chance to chop all of that up. Enjoy the weekend, man. Be safe. Appreciate you.
Hey, real quick, what's the over-under by next week when we talk? Kevin Stefanski will bring in more the Cleveland Browns coaches from 2025 to Atlanta. What's the over-under?
Well, he's got the special teams coach. Don't even get me started, B. I mean, brother, it's a hard sell. I'm not sold on it. I want Kubiak. I think Kubiak going to, well, we'll talk next time. But I think, you know, where he lands, man, I think they're going to have some good stuff.
No question.
Appreciate you, B. Thanks so much.